Welcome to What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander. The crossroads where culture, lifestyle, and community meet. All hosted by the legendary New York radio TV personality and proud Harlem American, G. Keith Alexander.
Oh, okie dokie. Thank you so very, very much. I guess I'm G. Keith Alexander. So welcome to What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander. And wherever you are, I appreciate you for joining our neighborhood as we hang out together in Harlem, America. Now, today in the What's Hot Spotlight is Ray Chu. Ray is a renowned music director, producer, and composer who began his journey at the prestigious Juilliard School at the age of 6. He quickly rose to prominence, becoming music director for Ashford & Simpson at just 19. Ray has worked with legends like Diana Ross, Luther Vandross, and Quincy Jones, and directed music for major shows like American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. He's also scored T.D. Jakes' Seven Deadly Sins series, including the inspiring single Faith in Love with Stephanie Mills. So it is my distinct honor and pleasure to say Ray Chu is What's Hot. How you doing, Ray?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm okay. So glad to have you. I know you're such a busy man with all that you've got going on, and you have a new album. And also today, we're very lucky. You're going to drop your new summer single on us today, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But like I always do with my special guests, I ask you to take the Wayback Machine, and let's take the Let's go way back and tell us what it was like growing up as little Ray Chu.
Wow. Well, the Wayback Machine takes me back to growing up at the Grand Projects, right there off 125th Street and Broadway, 3150 Broadway, apartment 60. Anyway, I had to memorize that because my mother instilled in us at a very young age how to be independent just in terms of survival. So at a very my very first phone number, I remember it, and I remember my grandmother's phone number. I remember, you know, everything about what it is, because my sister and I, who's 2 years older, we would travel to our music, and she was a dancer in our dance lessons at a very early age. Now, you would never do this now, but at 6 and 8 years old, we were on the trains going directly, you know, to our own lessons and making sure that we, you know, we're doing everything we need to do, because my mother and dad had to work 2 and 3 jobs. And they did that for the purpose of, you know, of getting us to what they felt was a better environment. You know, yes, the projects, a lot of people who survive and do great there, but you know, the desire is that you would want to, you know, make that transitional. And so we did. At the age of 7, we moved up to the North Bronx. But all our family roots were still in Harlem, right? You know, all the, you know, grandparents, cousins, aunts, and everybody. So it was the Harlem and Bronx connection always. And so that's way back.
Yeah, that is way back. Cheese and crackers. So, okay, now at 6 years old, how did you get a scholarship to Juilliard?
My mother, Juilliard had they were on the campus. Well, they were on the same campus real estate as Columbia University. And we lived right down the block. My father played piano and vibes, and then at age 4 and 5, you know, he saw that I was, you know, I was really, you know, I had a real aptitude for music. So they took me over to the school and had me tested, and, you know, tested just in terms of, you know, what kind of acumen that the school, the system thought I had. And they discovered I had perfect pitch and other things. And then I was awarded the Vladimir Horowitz scholarship to begin my music studies. And so, you know, it was from there that the whole music education journey began, and I went to every music institute that my mother could find because she was determined to make sure that I was not going to be a product of the streets. And so, after school, every day I was in the program. Every weekend we was somewhere. In the summer we was doing something. Mad School of Music, the Harlem School of Music, when it was a year after they opened. Third Street Music School, every music program. Then I went to the High School of Music and Art, and then to Manhattan School of Music. So by the time I got to be, when I was 16, I was very well studied and very ahead of, you know, people my age. So I would always hang out and study and play with people who were older than me, which kind of led me to, the start of my music career, which was, I was 16 years old and I was a junior at the High School of Music and Art. And my buddy said, hey, but also, let me go back. While in my music studies, I've studied not only piano, but drums, percussion, violin, cello, bass. I did trumpet for about a summer. It was any instrument that I could get my hands on because I just love learning. I just love, you know, playing and figuring out something. So if you give me any instrument, in an hour, I'll be able to play something.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, that's right. So, because I love doing it, and I'll figure it out.
Prince ain't got nothing on you.
at 16, I was a junior in high school. My buddy, and I was playing drums, percussion. As a matter of fact, I was playing drums with my buddy Nat Atlee Jr. So I was playing drums for him, but I was also playing. So I was trying to do, you know, a little bit of both, playing piano gigs, playing off Broadway, all kinds of stuff. And so at 16, my buddy said, hey, there's an audition for Melba Moore happening, you know, today. And he found out about it. And I was like, he said, you should go on down there. I was like, okay, I'll go down there. And so I went down there, not necessarily knowing whether they wanted me to play drums or piano. I wasn't sure, but because I was doing both. But mm-hmm. when I got down there, I guess everybody else had left, and I was the last one. And they said, well, yeah, here's the music. And they put the music up for the piano, and I went over and played it. And then Melba came over and sang with me. And we did about three songs, and then I thought that was kind of, you know, the end of it. And I was like, all right. And then the guy hit me back later and said, hey, listen, you know, she really likes you, and we want you to, you know, to work with us. I was like, cool. And I'm thinking that would be a nice, you know, nice weekend gigs or, you know, some stuff around town. When in fact, it was they had me a whole schedule that was that long that was pretty much the whole year, you know. I said, wow. Uh-huh. And so I went back and spoke to my mother, who was a visionary. My mother is a visionary. She was a social worker. She was a civil rights activist. My mother was a lot of things, but most of all, she saw that there was a lot to be had for me in terms of my life and possible career. So when I brought this back to my mom, I said, "Wow, you know, they want me to, you know, to go on the road." You know? And I said, "I really want to go." She said, "You really want to go?" Huh? I was like. She said, then go. So at 16, I left high school. She said, the stipulation was I have to go and get an equivalency. I was also at the same time, I was studying at Manhattan School of Music. She said, I want you to complete your studies there, get your equivalency. And, you know, and so when I went on the road, I was, you know, finishing my studies, but I got on the road and got me a little apartment, age 16, thought I was doing something.
Well, you were certainly making more than that weekly allowance you were getting prior to that.
I wasn't getting no weekly allowance. It was Hey, listen, our family, it's like you get what you get. You know, you better go, better get the hustle on. You know?
Wow. So, okay. So at 16 years old, you're on the road with Melba, and Melba was hot also. I mean, Melba was really hot. That was great. But then at 19 years old, you got with Ashford and Simpson. Now, tell us a little bit about that.
So, yeah, my buddy, I was on the road with Melba, and then she broke the barrier at the Met. All right, so Lincoln Center Met, she was the first contemporary artist to play the Met. Mm-hmm. Right, before that, it was only the Metropolitan Opera and those things. She was the first contemporary. So at that event also were Nick Ashford and Valerie Simpson. And my buddy, Nat Alley Jr., was their music director. And so they invited me to work with them. And so that was a wonderful thing because they introduced me to a whole new world and systems of what was happening in New York City. The New York session scene and jingle scene, which Valerie was queen of jingles at that time. And she took me by the hand and introduced me to that whole world. And Nick Ashford and Valerie Simpson empowered me as their music director. And I started almost immediately recording, you know, albums with them and albums with people like Diana Ross and Teddy Pendergrass and Shaka. And it was a world that really was wonderfully engulfing. I immersed myself in it totally, and I learned a lot.
Did you also work on the Double Mint Gum commercial that Valerie and Nick were singing on?
Yeah, I did. And I worked on a lot of jingles with Luther and Patty Austin and people like that. I went from never knowing what it felt like to do the musician playing on a jingle to do it like 0 to 100 like within a week. It's like, wow, like I'm getting calls from people. I'd like, wow, what's going on? You know, the phone is ringing. I'm like, wow, this is great. This is wonderful, you know? And so it was really a real learning in while driving. All right, so you're learning how to drive a car while driving. All right, so you're in the vehicle. You know you better learn how to use the brakes, learn how to steer, learn how to do everything you got to do. But in the meantime, you're going to be driving the car.
That's right.
I was already driving while learning. So it was good. It was great. And from that whole scene, I was asked and introduced to my first television job, which was Saturday Night Live. And I did Saturday Night Live during the Eddie Murphy years. So Eddie Murphy and I, about the same age. And so we were the young guys on the set, you know, hanging out and, you know, and having fun and doing that. That was a great show. It's live TV. So that was my first introduction to live TV and learning how to navigate those circumstances, learning that, you know, you will have to fly without a net, learning you will have to, you know, step out and be excellent, and learning that you have to hit, we're in the home run business. If you want to use a sports analogy, we're in the home run business or touchdown business. Everything's got to be a touchdown or home run. You know, there's nothing short of that, certainly in live TV, you know, if there is something that is not as rehearsed or perfect, make sure the audience don't know that.
Right, make sure. Well, look at here. Now, those are great stories, and I want to hear more as soon as we come back. We're going to take a little short break, and of course, later on during the show, we're going to play Ray Chu's hot new single, and you're going to really love it. But we'll be right back after this. I'm G. Keith Alexander.
Have you ever thought about hosting your own radio podcast to establish fame, fortune, and followers for your small business? People listen to them, they subscribe to them, and they love them. As a small Black business owner, doesn't that sound like something you'd like to be a part of? Well, you can when you hire the Radio Podcast Pros at Harlem America Digital Network. Imagine, you'll have a team of creative and technical professionals at your disposal and a one-hour weekly radio podcast to spread the word about your business. Making your business successful with its own media is not for the faint of heart, but it can happen with a Harlem America Radio Podcast talk show. Get a free consultation by emailing gkeithalexander at harlemamerica.com or call D. Daniels at 480-553-5741 today.
Listening to Harlem America.
I love it a lot.
For entertainment.
Check it out. Check it out.
Empowerment and health and wellness. Harlem America. The home of Glasso Smart Water is Harlem America. Harlem America. Where Coca-Cola is helping you enjoy less sugar. You're listening to Harlem America, talking to the world from the heart and soul of New York.
You're listening to What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander. To reach our show live today, call in to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Also, you can send an email to gkeithalexander@harlemamerica.com. Now, back to the show.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Look, I do want to say those who are watching the show, and you might say, well, what's wrong with G. Keith's face? Well, I had a little dental surgery yesterday, and my lip, I woke up this morning, my lip was a little swollen. So if you've got one of these big screen 70-inch TVs, and you're probably looking and saying, what? What's wrong with him? Well, anyway, so that's why I'm looking the way I look. However, Ray says I look okay. So
we don't even see it, G. Keith.
Oh,
you were doing fine. They don't even see it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Ray, you sound like you started out as a little genius, and no wonder. I mean, you know, you and I have worked on shows, several mini shows at the Apollo Theater, at the Carnegie Hall. And I've wondered how you were able to keep all everything together. And I've seen you at Carnegie Hall with like hundreds of singers and musicians and things. So we're going to talk about your night of inspiration and also the power to inspire. So let's talk about night of inspiration.
Well, I want to preempt the story by saying that preceding my first Night of Inspiration event was the introduction to Jesse Norman. And so Jesse Norman, the people at Carnegie Hall, I was introduced to them as a producer. They had seen some of my work producing events, and they asked me to come in and work with Jesse Norman on her series. And she had a festival series, and they brought me in to produce opening night at Carnegie and closing night at the Apollo. And so they saw that I had the ability to navigate, wonderful, iconic personalities like Jesse and people who, who have these great history, a great history of careers. And so working with Jesse and people like that and Aretha Franklin's is not for everybody. And matter of fact, they will not work with everybody. And so they saw that and they said, well, we like how you produce that and handle that. We'd like you to come into Carnegie Hall and help us diversify our programming and and also the patronage. You know, they invited me to, and this was 12 to 14 years ago. They invited me to opening night, and at opening night it was the usual suspects crowd. Let's say that, okay. And so they said, well, you know, I think they, and with a good vision, they said, we have to diversify this. It's got to be different and programming. So they brought me in and they empowered me and my partner, Vivian Scott Chu, mm-hmm. to produce our own content. And the concept that we came up with was a night of inspiration that would marry inspirational artists, gospel artists, secular artists, all on the great stage of Carnegie Hall with a 64-piece orchestra and 150 mass choir. And we do this with various wonderful artists from all different cultures and faiths. And it was, and that's not an easy task trying to bring all that together, but we managed to do that. And they asked us to do it again and again and again. And this is we're going to do our fifth iteration of it at Carnegie Hall on Saturday, December 14th, 2024, this year at Carnegie Hall. And we're going to do it again. We have some wonderful artists. We're going to bring Erica Campbell and Tina and Erica's daughter. We're going to do a tribute to the Winans. Of course, we have, you know, the gospel greats, Shirley Caesar, Hezekiah Walker, Brian Courtney Wilson. And so we're really going to have, you know, a wonderful array of artists consistent to what we've done before. Night of Inspiration. And, you know, you've been there with us, G. Keith. And so it's always a great event.
This is the fifth one, right?
This is the fifth iteration, correct.
Okay, I think I was the announcer for the second and the third. I think that was it. So, and then, what about the Power to Inspire?
So the Power to Inspire Foundation is the brainchild, or the, I would say, it's a visceral effect of the upbringing that Vivian and I had. What it is that my mother is a visionary and she was a social worker. Vivian's mother was a social worker, active in the church, mm-hmm. and voting rights. And so we knew the value of making sure that we feed and seed the next generation of people into the soil that we stand on and the soil that they will stand on into the future. And our passion is music and music business. Vivian is well known as a maverick in the music business.
You're right.
And of course I do what I do. So we brought together these two disciplines to say that, hey, we want to recognize, you know, youth, and we want to recognize that the next generation needs to be fed, needs to be taught. So music education with foundations is not a new thing. But what is new for what we do is we bridge the gap between those who have achieved any kind of formal education, be it in the schools or in the street. However, but the need is that you need to bring it into the workplace. How do you take that degree that you have and matriculate it or bring it into the next level of action? How do you activate that? How do you make that happen? How do I get my first job? And how am I prepared for my first job? So these are some of the things that we do. We have it's a mentoring program. We have a summer program that we select a group of 25 to 30, and we focus on giving them the tools and, you know, and the things that they need so that they can succeed. Also, introducing them with relationships. bringing them into the work field. We have hired some of them on some of the shows we've done. And a lot of these young people are doing really well, and we're very happy and proud of that. So it's a focused type of program. You know, we cast a wide net and we select a few. And with that, you know, we make sure that they get the kind of attention that they need and the tools they need to succeed.
Fantastic. So let's talk about, first was American Idol. But now you've been on Dancing with the Stars for what, 14 seasons or something like that?
We completed 15 seasons, and they did ask me back. So I'll be back in the fall of 2024, happy to announce. It's a wonderful show. I have a lot of fun doing it. I enjoy it. And it is a lot of focused attention. You know, when I'm doing that show, there's not a whole lot else I can do because, you know, the demands are high and the delivery is even higher. Mm-hmm. We have 10 to 15 songs we have to produce within a very, very specific multi-genres, multi-types of things we have to do, the effects and all kinds of things we have to incorporate in. The timing is milliseconds. We have to be very accurate because the dance teams there, first of all, the professionals are very precise with what they do. And then they're in competition. And so they want to make sure that everything is exactly. There's really not a lot of room for, there's no room for misinterpretation. It's got to be exact.
how many shows do you do a day?
Well, no, it's live. That's live TV.
It's live. Right. Okay.
That's right. It would come on Monday. I think we did switch to Tuesday. I'm not sure where it'll be in the schedule in the fall. But it's live. And again, flying without a net, you know, you have to make sure that it's live TV. There are no mistakes. Everything's got to be right.
That's right. All right. So, I'm interested in finding out because, you know, you've been inspired by many people, I'm sure, during the course of your career. Tell us about some of the people that have inspired you, that you're standing on the shoulders of.
My introduction to Dancing with the Stars came through Harold Wheeler.
The great Harold Wheeler
is a friend and a mentor, and I had worked for him while he was in New York several times. And he was the music director. He started the show. And when it was time to transition, he did give me his blessings. And so, yes, I stand on the shoulders of the great Harold Wheeler with that show and other shows. I saw how he conducted himself. I saw how he handled the business of it, how he handled the circumstance of it. There are several things you have to do when you're doing network TV. One is that, yes, you have to be excellent at your craft and all of the facets of that. You know, I play piano, so I have to be excellent at that. I'm an arranger. I have to be excellent at that. I have to be a producer of music and other things. I have to be excellent at that. But you also have to be very well versed in how to deal with the circumstance of music director in a network show. There are many producers and levels of executive producers, and you have to navigate that throughout the whole season. And then you have the dance teams, and there's a lot of competition. So there's a lot to navigate. So that's the circumstance of it. So you have being your craft, and you have the circumstance, and then there's, just making sure that, you're able to, within your own health and systems, being able to, take a deep breath and go for that long swim until the end of the season.
That's a nice analogy. Okay, so now Are there any other shows that you have in the making, anything that you're working on now that you'd like to let folks know about?
Yes. We have a wonderful product called Two Beats, One Soul. And it was a journey that we did to Cuba, and where we brought American artists to collaborate with Cuban artists to create a wonderful product and music, and really, really immerse ourselves together in the wonderfulness of music. We documented that, and we released it as a documentary called Two Beats, One Soul. And so that is going to be now available. We just inked the papers, so I will probably give more information, but I'll say look out for Two Beats, One Soul, the documentary. It tells us the journey of us going to Cuba and trying to navigate all of what happens down, you know, first of all, with international communications, and in particular, that of Cuba, which was certainly not, we don't have the kind of international flow with Cuba that would give us the freedom and comfort that it would if we were doing it in other places. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot going on, and it's a lot to see. Look out for Two Beats, One Soul, the documentary.
Fantastic. That, well, you know, we're going to, in about a minute or so, we're going to take a short break. I do want to remind people that they can check out What's Hot Harlem America every Friday at 1 p.m. But if you go to the website, harlemamerica.com, we've got a Black History Music tribute, and we're giving tributes to Phyllis Hyman, Will Downing, Shante Moore, and also Luke James. So you can check that out on harlemamerica.com. When we come back, we're going to hear your new single, and it's called Jam and Party, correct?
Yeah, Jam and Party.
Okay, so I would like for our illustrious engineer, Jordan, to cue it up. And Jordan, when we come back, in fact, why don't we, during the break, why don't we play it so everyone can hear it during the break? How about that? And we'll play the entire 3 minutes and 10 seconds. So why don't you lead us into it right now, Ray?
Oh, yeah, but we have on this is a summer record. This is a summer jam and party record, perfect for the barbecue, the cookout. For everybody want to do the cool two-step, comes on right after Outstanding, right in between Frankie Beverly and everything else. Is perfect for that. And we have Kid Capri, Dougie Fresh, MC Light, and Stephanie Mills. And we're going to have a party.
Get down. Jordan, hit it, brother.
Started till I arrive. We all smarter than life. fresh, stay fresh, great less. Book 10 shows in a row. Ray Chu and the crew with a unique sound. From Harlem to the world, still ripping it down. I'm clocking mad paper, electric navigators, big chunk gators, no time for the haters. Yo, when me and Ray play like this, right in front of your eyes, flip the script like this. Come on!
World premiere. Right here on What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander, Jam and Party. Ray, that's hot, man. That is really great. What inspired you to do that this summer?
Man, I really like going. Every time I go to a cookout or something, I'm like, man, I want to, you hear the usual stuff. I'm like, well, I want to hear something new that still feels like it belongs at the cookout, and or at the party, or at the club, the summer club vibe, and everybody having fun, kicking it, and so that's how I came up with that. And then I asked my wonderful friends, Kid Capri, Stephanie Mills, MC Light, and Dougie Fresh, and they jumped in, to do their thing. So it's fun, man.
Well, that's great. And I understand that you've made it the Greater Harlem Chamber of Commerce Harlem Week theme song. Is that correct?
That's correct. And their 50th anniversary, along with, all their wonderful partners. And so, yeah, it is their theme song. And for this summer, we're going to kick it. We're going to hear it. We're going to hear it everywhere. We're going to hear it a lot.
Fantastic.
Everybody have some fun. Put it on. Kick off the party.
There you go. Well, you mentioned it's the 50th anniversary of Harlem Week. And we're going to have a great time August 11th at Grant's Tomb. And August 17th and August 18th we'll be at 135th Street. And, of course, from 5th Avenue to St. Nicholas. But I got to tell you, folks, if you haven't been to the Harlem Week kickoff at Grant's Tomb, you've got to be there because Ray Chu and the crew, man, they turned the place out. Grant is right. President Grant is right underneath. I know he and his wife, because that's Grant's Tomb. He and his wife must be jamming or either turning over in their grave because the brothers and sisters are up there jamming. So we look forward to seeing you up there as well, Ray. You've been the musical director for the Harlem Week events for how long now?
About 15 years. Yeah, it's been about that long. Yeah. And it's always great because that's right in the backdrop. I can see the projects that I grew up in right from Grant's Tomb. And it's just great because all the people in the neighborhood, I know all of them for my many years of working at the Apollo. So I'm ingratiated into the community. My spirit is there. Everybody, I say hi. I stay after that and speak to everybody that wants to say something to me. I stay, so I don't leave until I have spoken to the last person who says my name. So I says, hey, Ray, I'll come over and talk to him. We have fun. It's great. Y'all got to come out. It's the party again. We're going to rock it.
It is. And I'm fortunate to be able to co-host every year. And so we'll be out there, and Harlem America will be streaming live the Harlem Week as we do each year. So I'll be co-hosting with Debbie B. And I think on the day, Great Day in Harlem, we're going to honor Hal Jackson and the Sunday Classics on that day. So that'll be fantastic. So, Ray, I think I want to ask you, do you have any regrets? Anything that you had to give up to become the Ray Chu that we know today?
Well, I think a life without, you know, any kind of regrets is one that you can reflect back on and say, hey, you know what? I've made some mistakes. I might have made some things that I want to do again. But to reflect back on is to recognize the grace and mercy of a loving God, and that he carried me through anything that I might regret. He carried me through anything the mistakes I've made in my life. And so don't get me started. Don't start me preaching here. It's a wonderful thing. And I'm able to be here feeling vibrant, relevant, and having fun.
You know, we've had some good times together, working together, in various venues. But also, I remember sitting across from you and Vivian one day. I had my family with me, and we were sitting across from you at Ashford & Simpson's all-white party, 4th of July all-white party. And that part, that used to be a party that 300 to 400 people used to come all dressed in white, and Oprah would be there, and Luther and Teddy and just a slew of people. And I'm sitting there eating my barbecue across from you and Vivian, and you said to me, and I'll never forget this, because you didn't know me that well, but you said to me, hey, if there's anything I can ever do for you, let me know. And I said, wow, I really had no concept of the magnitude of your life and career. But you said that to me, and that has always stuck with me. And I really appreciate you for doing that. Thank you very, very much.
Well, that's because I also recognize the magnitude of your life and career. You know, I knew who you were on early, the radio and following your career and how you. You know, you and Frankie Crocker and everybody led the way with black radio here in New York and across the United States and with the formats. And you guys did a lot. So, yes, yes, D. Keith, anything I could do for you, that still stands.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. So what's it like working with your partner who's such a dynamic maverick in the music business? How does that gel together with her and your talent? What's that like?
Well, she keeps telling me what to do all the time. I have to, she keeps bossing me around like I'm working for her. No, I'm kidding. No, it's really fulfilling to have a partner and a partnership that understands what it is that we do. She understands me as a musician because her brother and she were musicians as well. And she understands the business of it. Mm-hmm. And so that we together are able to fulfill the promises of our parents and our mothers and the people who envision wonderful things for us. So yes, working together, you have to develop chemistry and a rhythm. You have to incorporate that into married life. Always not easy, but it's always certainly fulfilling and certainly something that again you know, fulfills the promise that God has for you. The promise he has for you is bigger than the one that you have for yourself. Don't stop me preaching.
Well, hey, all I can say is amen to that, brother. You know, that is certainly correct. Okay, as we're winding down now, we've just got maybe a few minutes left. What advice would you give to aspiring musicians or people who want to be able to become the next Ray Chu?
Well, I'm really short on advice, long on offerings. I offer to people some of the wonderful experiences I've had. I offer sometimes it's testimony, sometimes it's different things. So I would say that as a young musician, if what you want is to have music in your system, then embrace that and hold that and make that the first thing. If you're looking to really have a career, get focused, get all the tools and everything necessary that you would need to launch that rocket ship. If you're going to launch a rocket ship, make sure your vehicle is in good condition. It's ready for the, you know, after you blast off, it's going to be ready for the journey. And also being able to tweak along the way. It's not a one-shot thing. It is something that you can, you know, you can step back and revise, get a new plan, you know, go back and rethink it, try it again. There is no such thing as, you know, a failure, because all that is just a momentary pause. It's something you for to, so it's a learning experience. So if you consider that it's all about a learning experience along the way, then your journey will never be complete and always be in motion. So have fun doing it.
that is fantastic. I certainly agree with you on that. Well, I know that you are quite busy and that you're probably in the midst of working on some performance that's getting ready to come up real soon. Can you talk about the event that you're going to be doing in later this week or next week or whatever it is?
Well, next week, actually I'm traveling down to Rocky Mount, North Carolina. So Rocky Mount, North Carolina comes on my map because my good buddy and friend Joe Gray and Sherrod Barnes, the great Sherrod Barnes on guitar, they're from Rocky Mount. So I didn't know anything about Rocky Mount until Joe Gray called me and said, "Hey, listen, man, they're doing a festival down there. We want to come down there." And so then we got on the phone with them and they worked this wonderful thing out where we're going to come down there and rock the party. And that's going to be next Saturday. And I'll have to pull the date up. But as a matter of fact, I'll do it.
The 15th.
The 15th. Thank you. So Okay. Next Saturday, June 15th, we will be down doing the Rocky Mount Music Festival in North Carolina. Also, the day before that, Dougie Fresh is going to be doing that same festival the day before on the 14th. So we're bringing our New York flavor down to Rocky Mount, and we're going to have some fun.
Fantastic. Hey, do you play golf, by the way?
I do.
Well, and we're having the Jim Beatty African American Golf Expo and Forum in Palm Beach on August 23rd through the 27th. And I'm trying to get some celebrities to come on down. Palm Beach, the Jim Beatty African American Golf Expo. And phone number for anyone interested in that would be 202-478-9644. So, hey, I'd love to see if you play golf down there, which we're trying to get as many folks down there. This is his fourth golf tournament. So, yeah. So anyway, hey, Ray.
That sounds great. Any good excuse to get out there on the golf course. So.
Well, hey, I'll send you the information and stuff. And, hey, we'll waive your golf fees and stuff. Okay.
Okay.
Treat you like a celebrity that you are. All right. So, hey, Ray, thank you so very, very much for being on What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander. It's been a real pleasure, brother. And Any last words? Got to make them short because we got 30 seconds.
Yeah, listen, look out for this jam and party. We're going to be rocking that all summer. Check it out.
Fantastic. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. And, you know, if you tune in late and want to know what's wrong with my lip, I had dental surgery. I didn't know it was going to blow up. But anyway, you have a great day and a better one tomorrow. And don't judge your brother or sister too harshly if you walked a mile in his or her shoes. And remember, life is tough, but you're tougher. I'm G. Keith Alexander. I'll see you next Friday at 1 p.m.
Thanks for listening to What's Hot Harlem America with G. Keith Alexander. We'll be back next Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, that's 1 p.m. in New York, on the Voice America Variety Channel and the Harlem America Digital Network. Thank you for listening.